How are we doing, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to The Dive yet again. It's good to be back. Let's get some Z's in the live chat right now. Most beautiful live chat on all of YouTube and Rumble, the entire internet. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. It is good to be back. And look, I know the audio still sounds like dog shit. I'm working on it. I really am. Although I think I need a new cord. I'm in a different country. I need to get the new cord somehow. So I need to figure that out. But otherwise, you know, I figure we keep streaming. We're going to do what we do. Let me see how it sounds, how terrible it is. Let me see. It's bearable. You guys can put up with it. You can put up with it. I know you. You're strong, independent women. You can put up with it. So look, thank you all for tuning in. If you're watching right now, of course, be sure to drop a like, drop a Z, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. And if you'd like to support the show, as always, you can do so by donating to my Locals, my Patreon, or my Give, Send, Go, which you can find all linked below in the description of this live stream on YouTube and Rumble. And in fact, you can find it on every single video I post in the description. So if you'd ever like to support the show, what we do here, because the Ukrainian government has permanently demonetized my YouTube, so I make no money from this, consider supporting us there, okay? And also, if you'd like to have the most sexy, most beautiful, most amazing merchandise merch on the internet, check out our new merch right now. It's our Z merch, our Ghost of Kiev merch. You can find it here by clicking on the link I'm sending in the live chat right now. It is the best merch on the internet. I'm not going to lie. I'll send it to you right now. It's also linked in the description of our video. If you find the first or second link in the description, that's going to be the link. But there it is right there for each and every one of you. There's the link to our merch. I'll send it in the Rumble stream as well. Thank you all for tuning in. We already got thousands of people tuning in. And we got a big news day ahead of us. We're going to talk about some pretty crazy stories. So the International Criminal Court, as you know, has put out a wanted memorandum for Putin, for Vladimir Putin. They want Vladimir Putin. Will they get him? The answer is obviously no, they will not be getting Vladimir Putin. But also, Putin's not the only one facing arrest. Now, Donald Trump, if you can believe it, they're saying that they're finally going to arrest Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has said that they are going to arrest him on Tuesday, potentially. So we'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the U.S. banking crisis. But oh, wait, it's not a U.S. banking crisis. It is a Western, potentially global banking crisis that we will be moving into very soon. And it's, you know, coming at a very interesting time. I'm going to give my thoughts on that. We're going to be discussing the greatest puzzle that is there. You know, China and Russia are putting in the final pieces to the greatest puzzle in recent human history, which is, of course, the puzzle of the Middle East. When it comes to Syria, Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all this stuff and more, it seems like Russia and China are finalizing this massive, massive puzzle board, and they're putting in the final pieces. We're going to discuss that, what's going on there. And we're going to discuss a little bit about Ukraine weapon shipments, what's happening with that, and also just some interesting clips I have for all of you about what is going on in the country right now. So without further ado, let's get into it. Thank you again to all of you. We got 2,000 people watching on YouTube, about 1,000 on Rumble, but only like 700. Like, drop a like right now. It helps us boost in YouTube's corporate algorithm. Drop a like right now. You know, it helps us get the information out to more and more people, okay? All right. So look, let's get into it. And before we get into it, I do have to say, like, I've long since said that if I do think they're going to try to, you know, put Trump in handcuffs, and if they do, Trump will keep running, and he will run from behind, he will win, not only run, he will win behind prison bars if that's what it comes to. So I do think that if they actually go through with this madness, you know, it's just gonna like solidify Trump's reelection campaign. I don't think it's gonna be any sort of impediment that they might think it is going to be. Regime change in France? Question mark. Some people are asking. I mean, the French do this every like 2 years. They have some crazy riots and protests every 2 years. And Macron is no stranger to this. Do I think Macron really cares about, you know, being in office anymore? I don't know. It's such a calamitous time for him. You know, the West, he understands that the West is in the position it is with the banking crisis, with Ukraine, soon to be with China. He tried to mediate some sort of discussions between the West and Russia they don't want anything to do with it. I don't think Macron really likes the path that the West is headed down towards, like, all-out war, hot war with Russia. I think that maybe even he doesn't really care to be the president of France anymore. You know, he lost parliamentary control. I don't think he really cares. I don't think he really wants to be in this position anymore. So is this a way for Macron to say that he wants out? I don't know. I don't know. But I do wonder these sorts of things when I see stuff like this take place. Okay, so let's get into the news. Let's get into the news. Oh, but before we do, one last thing. Sorry. Roll call in the live chat right now. Let's see where everyone is tuning in from. Let's see where we're all tuning in from. I am tuning in from Bali, Indonesia, yet again. And I have a better background this time. I think I like this background. The other background, I rewatched the clips and I edited the clips. And I was like, in addition to me having absolutely abhorrent audio, it looked like I was in like a giant dungeon or something. I was like, it's way too dark and scary looking. I'm like, I like this better. I like this better. Okay, let's see it in the live chat right now. Where's everyone tuning in from? We got Cuba, Oregon, China, Pennsylvania, Ghana, Bosnia, Turkey, Turkey, Indonesia. We've got Australia, Serbia. We've got who else? San Diego, Yugoslavia, Sweden, Texas, Melbourne, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Romania, West Bank. We've got New Zealand, Germany, Mongolia, France. Who else we have in here? We've got India, Puerto Rico. We've got Eritrea. We've got Poland. We've got Nepal. We've got Quebec, Russia, France, Nova Scotia. We've got, let's do a few more. Let's do 10 more. We got Jamaica. Maybe not 10 more. We got South Korea. We've got, it's going so fast. We've got Marina, California. We've got Qatar. We've got Kurdistan, fake country. Germany, China. We've got, who else? Let's do a few more. Cuba. We've got Hollywood, Florida. Shout out. We've got Sweden. And we've got Montreal, Arizona, Louisiana, and Slovenia. Okay, well, it's good to have everyone tuning in from all across the world. Japan, Palestine, Philippines, Slovakia. Okay, Bahamas. It's good to have you all here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get into the news, okay? Let's get into the news. So, you know, this is probably a good place for us to start off on tonight, okay? So, all right. Yes. So this week marks the 20th anniversary of a very infamous date in not only American history, but in global history. That is the 20th anniversary after the invasion of Iraq. Okay. And, you know, on this 20th anniversary, it is pretty incredible that we're coming together here today about a discussion amongst many things about, you know, this changing multipolar world, about how, you know, this puzzle of the Middle East is finally kind of being settled. We've got Syria, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all these countries, Yemen, coming together and saying, like, let's put aside our contrived, manufactured differences that have been manufactured by the West, and let's build a new world. And also, you know, we have this changing atmosphere and landscape in the United States. We have front runner presidential candidates like Donald Trump, who are about to be arrested potentially, who are saying stuff like, we have to end the deep state. We have to end the globalist crusade that is brought so much untold human suffering, loss of life, and bloodshed across so many nations to so many peoples. You know, it's really a crazy time that we see this all happening. But also on this 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, we see this news right here that I thought I should share with all of you in light of some of these stories we have today. Americans' view on the Iraq war is now that it was a mistake. 2 decades after the U.S. invaded Iraq, the majority of Americans realized that the war was a mistake, according to the Axios Ipsos poll released this week. While 2/3 of Americans approved of military action in 2003, some 61% now believe it was the wrong decision. When the U.S. ground invasion of Iraq began on March 20th, 2003, just 26% of respondents to a Pew poll opposed military action to overthrow Saddam Hussein's government. Support was heavily skewed by political affiliation, with 83% of Republicans favoring invasion, compared to just 52% of Democrats. The divide has persisted two decades later, with a much smaller majority of Republicans still insisting the U.S. was right to invade. Only 26% of Democrats still think it was a good idea. The majority of Americans, 67%, don't believe the war in Iraq made the U.S. any safer, according to the Ipsos poll conducted last week among 1,018 Americans over 18 years old. However, about three quarters of Americans said they want the U.S. to remain the global leader, and some 54% believe Washington's overall focus on national defense and homeland security in the last two decades have made the U.S. safer. I would strongly disagree with that. But what I will say is that for people above the age of 18, I mean, it's clear that this was a mistake. Now, I would go even further. I'd say, you know, I'd say that by having this sort of phrasing in the poll, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. That's the Obama legacy. It's the fruits of the Obama legacy, right? Because he's the guy that came out and he said, look, Iraq was a mistake. Iraq was a strategic mistake. It was a blunder. It was not a lie that got us into the Iraq war that, you know, resulted in a million Iraqis, a million plus Iraqis dying. It was a mistake, my fellow Americans. And it's like, no, this was a mistake. You can't call it a mistake. This was a lie. Many lies, actually, not just one lie, many lies. Cover-ups of the work also of Scott Ritter, someone we had on the show, the UN weapons inspector, who exposed the fact that there are no WMD in Iraq, no baby incubators, no none of this. Saddam Hussein, you know, bad guy, maybe, yeah, but not the type of bad guy that they told you he was. You know, wasn't the number one evil, not the number one evil terrorist in the world. That's the United States government. That's George Bush. I mean, if you want to quantify this by how much blood is on one man's hand, I mean, George Bush obviously takes the cake. So, you know, I wouldn't frame it as a mistake. I'd frame it as illegal lies for a for-profit war. Okay. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, because the truth of the matter is that the American public is changing their views on all of this. Okay. And people are waking up, even people in the, you know, top positions of media elite and power are beginning to wake up to this. Take a look at this clip right here. This is not just some random guy that works at a random news station somewhere in the corporate press. This, you know, I get happy when I have my own friends, my own loved ones in my own life who wake up to the madness that is the mainstream media elite that lies us into all these wars, that lies on behalf of the military industrial complex, lies on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry, lies on behalf of the private banks, lies on behalf of, you know, anyone and everyone that are these transnational corporations that serve no other interest than to fuck you over and make more money for the globalist elite, right? I get happy when people that I don't even know, I just meet on the street, they understand this simple fact. But this video right here is not just a random person. This video right here is of the number one host of the number one news show in the United States of America right now. He gets more average Democratic voter viewers than even MSNBC or CNN does on their nightly primetime broadcast. This is Tucker Carlson admitting that, yeah, the mass media has a purpose, and that purpose is not to tell the truth. Take a listen to what he has to say right here. It's so incredible. It's so incredible that, you know, people like him are waking up to this.
I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life, is the media.
And I see that the audio is not working. Let me see if I can fix that. One second. Media source, desktop. We need desktop audio. One second. This is the, this is the problem streaming on the go. When you're traveling, you don't, you know, not everything's going to be perfect. Okay, brought display capture. We have that. We don't need that. We window capture, audio capture. Where is this stupid thing? How do I do this? I have no idea. Audio input. Yeah. I'm trying to fix the audio. One second. One second. I'm actually stumped on this. Audio output capture, maybe that. Desktop audio. Add source. There we go. No? No, no, no. The audio will be better. We didn't have it. Does anyone know how to add desktop audio on Streamlabs? One second. Let's see here. Stand by. Stand by. I'm stumped on this one. Push play. I don't know how to do it. Tell me how well you can hear this. Tell me how well you can hear this.
Like, I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no... Yeah, I know, because you're younger and smarter and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you're me and you spent your whole life in that world and to look around and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Not only are they part of the problem, but I spent most of my life being part of the problem defending the Iraq war. Like, I actually did that. Can you imagine if you did that?
Well, what do you think? What is one of your biggest regrets in your career?
Oh, defending the Iraq war.
That is it?
Well, I've had a million regrets, not being more skeptical, calling people names when I should have listened to what they were saying. Look, when someone makes a claim, there's only one question that's important at the very beginning. Which...
Let me see how it sounds on my end. You guys are saying echo? Oh, it's fine. Okay, never mind.
Is the claim true or not?
So right, I'm going to restart the video.
Like, I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no... Yeah, I know, because you're younger and smarter and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you're me and you spent your whole life in that world and to look around and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Not only are they part of the problem, but I spent most of my life being part of the problem defending the Iraq war. Like, I actually did that. Can you imagine if you did that?
What do you think? What is one of your biggest regrets in your career?
Oh, defending the Iraq war.
That is it?
Well, I've had a million regrets, not being more skeptical, calling people names when I should have listened to what they were saying. Look, when someone makes a claim, there's only one question that's important at the very beginning, which is the claim true or not? So I say, you know, you committed murder or you rigged the last election before you attack me as a crazy person for saying that, maybe you should explain whether you did it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for too long, I participated in the culture where I was like, anyone who thinks outside these pre-prescribed lanes is crazy, is a conspiracy theorist. And I just really regret that. I'm ashamed that I did that. And partly it was age, partly it was the world that I grew up in. So when you look at me and you're like, yeah, of course they're part of the means of control. I'm like, that's obvious to you because you're 28, but I just didn't see it at all. And I'm ashamed of that.
Isn't that what the media tries to do, though?
It's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No. Their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian Guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
So, sorry, I'm just trying to figure this stuff out. So, anyways, there you have it. Tucker basically saying the quiet part out loud, the part you're not supposed to say if you're in the mass media, especially the part you're not supposed to say if you are the number one news show in the country, the host of the number one news show in the country. It's a pretty big revelation from Tucker Carlson. I mean, he's admitting to the fact that, yeah, like, you know, I've been party to this apparatus that serves to control, serves to, you know, manufacture different narratives for the American public, for millions and hundreds of millions of people, serves to protect the deep state, serves to protect the people in power who are sacrificing the lives of millions of people to try and make a quick buck. It's a pretty big revelation for someone like him. I mean, he's dropping a truth bomb, to be honest with all of you. And you know, he's not the only one. You know, people left and right are waking up. But the interesting thing is that it is mostly in America right now, it is mostly the right. I mean, you see the left is fully embracing all this madness. The left is embracing what it used to reject, what it used to fight against. The left used to fight against the warmongering party and establishment. Now they're embracing it. They're saying Slava Ukraini, and they're, you know, saying please give Zelensky more money. and they're all supportive of this when it comes to the private healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry. They used to be opposed to this stuff. Now they're like, please wear your mask and stay 6 feet away. Please wear your mask and stay 6 feet away from me. You know, it's like I saw the PSL, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is this progressive international Soros funded, you know, political party, if you will. You know, they refused to participate in the February 19th, Rage Against the War Machine event with all of us, because, you know, they said, well, Jackson Hinkle is anti-LGBTQ and there's libertarians at the event and right wingers speaking. Oh my God, we can't participate in this. So they had their own event today. I think they managed to get out about like 12 people. And I saw the videos of it, and it was like, you know, they refused to participate in the anti-Ukraine war event with us because you know, their leaders, it's this like weird nerdy guy named Brian Becker, and like Abby Martin's gone completely down the loony bin hole. All these people, you know, it's like they all say, well, like, we condemn Putin, but we also condemn Zelensky. We just condemn everybody because everyone's getting canceled and no one's woke enough for us. We just condemn everyone. We're just condemning everyone. It was like a cringe fest today. All their people were like, I don't even know what they were chanting. They were on their protests and they're like, I believe that we can win. And they all had their masks on and stuff. And you can't show up if you're not vaccinated. Do you have your booster shot? This is how their protest was. So it's like, you know, it's like, I don't even know what this is anymore. It's like, why couldn't you just protest with us? Why do you have to? Well, the answer is because, you know, they don't want people at their events saying don't fund the Nazis in Ukraine. Russia's in the right doing what they're doing. They have to say, like, we condemn Zelensky and Putin. Okay. It's just so cringe. It's just so cringe because the American public understands, like, yeah, we stand with Russia. We stand with Putin. I get that, like, on February 24th, everyone thought that we were all crazy people for saying, like, yeah, we stand with Putin. But now, you know, we've made convincing arguments. We've gotten the message out to millions and millions of people. Now people understand, yes, stand with Russia, stand with Putin. There's so many people that understand this now. It's like, the message that they were carrying would have been deemed radical and resonated with, you know, try to win people over back on February 24th or like a while, I don't know, years ago or something like that. But the message of like, we condemn Putin, it's just like, we're so past that. We're so past Party for Liberation, Answer Coalition, we're so past that. Don't be so cringe. Just like get on the fucking bandwagon now. It's like, this is the right way to go. And you guys, you know, you've served your purpose, but like, come on, come around to the right side. Anyway, so that's where the left is now. Even Joe Rogan gets it. Like, even look at this, what Joe Rogan says. He says the culture has shifted. Take a listen to this.
The culture shift between right and left authoritarian
don't recognize that. You just stop looking at it in terms of red and blue. Look at the action.
Fucking bandwagon now. It's like, this is the right
form of logical intervention that are mandatory. Whatever, fucking excitement with the authoritarian right. And now those things are being embraced by the left. And I just think it's just an ideology. We're on the right side. And if it's our side saying this, it's the right thing to do. And no one's going to be thinking about this. Culture shift between right and left authoritarianism. And people don't.
You guys are saying no sound. Let me try to fix that. Tell me, I'm still figuring this out because I don't know what happened with our desktop audio. Let me try again.
The culture shift between right and left extremism, and now people don't recognize that the if you just stop looking at it in terms of culture shift between right and left authoritarianism, and now people don't recognize that the if you just stop looking at it in terms of red and blue, look at the actions. Whether it's war, suppression of free speech, pharmacological interventions that are mandatory, whatever the fuck it is, that used to all be associated with the authoritative right, the authoritarian right. And now those things are being embraced by the left. And I just think it's just an ideology thing. And I think we get confused and we think, we're on the right side. And if it's our side that's saying this, for sure it's the right thing to do. And no one's critically thinking about this. The culture shift between right and left authoritarianism. And now people don't recognize that the if you just.
Yeah, so we're just going to have to roll with that audio now. How does that sound? It's fucking retarded, but whatever. Because it's got the echo. But I don't think I can fix this while I'm streaming. I think I have to do this when I'm not streaming. So, you know, Streamlabs is a fucking shit show. Fuck them. They banned Haas. They banned Infrared. They'll probably ban me eventually. They're a terrible fucking platform. Their stuff doesn't work. And it's just abhorrent. It's like, how can we figure out to have like a full AI like that will answer any question, but we can't figure out how to live stream? You know, that's my question. Anyways, there it is. So the right and the left completely shifted, huge culture shift. Joe Rogan gets it. Tucker Carlson gets it. My question is, I guess, like, when will the left wake up? When will they wake up that they were duped? It's not about these sides. Like, the right was duped, then they woke up. The left is duped. Now, when will they wake up? When will we all just come together and understand that, like, the people in the elite, Rachel Maddow, MSNBC, CNN, they lie to us. Joe Biden, they lie to us. Like, these people all lie to us. When will they wake up? I don't know. All right. Well, let's move into our next story. And hopefully, I'm just going to do the audio is just going to be how it is for the remainder of the stream. And it is what it is. It's shitty, but it is what it is. All right. So thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to drop a like on the stream. Subscribe, drop some Z's in the chat, and let's get into the next story. All right, so let's take a look at this story right here. So the Putin arrest story. Let's go into this. So, I think Gonzalo Lira said it best when he said basically what the International Criminal Court just did was the equivalent of, you know, the ICC coming out and saying Slava Ukraini. Like, this is really nothing. It's a big nothing burger because the United States doesn't recognize the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, nor does Russia. I mean, the United States literally voted against the creation of the International Criminal Court, but they just decided to do something unthinkable, something that makes the International Criminal Court null and void. It turns the International Criminal Court into the joke that we long suspected it was. I mean, it's a nothing burger. It's completely unimportant. It's irrelevant. It's never going to do anything. It's a joke. If you work there, it's a joke. You are a clown participating in a circus. This is you call it a kangaroo court. It is quite literally a kangaroo court. I mean, take a look at this. We're going to break down what happened. But first, this is the news. ICC issues arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. Okay. Russia is one of the many countries that do not recognize the Hague-based institution. The pretrial chamber of the International Criminal Court issued warrants on Friday for the arrest of Russian President Vladimir Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova, the presidential commissioner for children's rights. The Hague-based tribunal is not recognized by Moscow. obviously, so it's not valid, blah, blah, blah. So they said that they responded, but the reason why they did this is because they claim that Putin is like putting children, like abducting children or something like that, because their country is helping children get out of Ukraine and the Donbass and these wars, when these war-torn areas and these war zones, and bringing them into Russia to help them stay safe and keep them out of the zone of fire. Even Senator Andriy Klyushchuk, a senior member of the ruling United Russia Party, explains that the ICC is putting itself on the road to self-destruction because of what they're now doing. The ICC alleged that Putin and Lvova Belova engaged in the unlawful deportation of population children and that of unlawful transfer of population from occupied areas of Ukraine to the Russian Federation. So basically saying that they are unlawfully stealing children and taking them into Russia, when the truth of the matter is that they're doing this to protect children from war zones, okay, from war zones. So take a look at this. This is what the ICC came out and said. This is pretty incredible.
Today, 17th of March 2023, the International Criminal Court has issued two warrants of arrest in the Ukraine situation for Vladimir Putin, President of the Russian Federation, and for Maria Lvova-Belova, Commissioner of the Russian President for Children's Rights, for the alleged war crimes of deportation of children from Ukrainian-occupied territories into the Russian Federation. It is forbidden by international law for occupying powers to transfer civilians from the territory they live in to other territories. Children enjoy special protection under the Geneva Convention. The contents of the warrants are secret in order to protect victims. The ICC attaches great importance to the protection of victims, especially children. Nevertheless, the judges of the chamber dealing with this case decided to make the existence of the warrants public in the interest of justice and to prevent the commission of future crimes. This is an important moment in the process of justice before the ICC. The judges have reviewed the information and evidence submitted by the prosecutor and determined that there are credible allegations against these persons for the alleged crimes. The ICC is doing its part of work. As a court of law, the judges issued arrest warrants. Their execution depends on international cooperation.
So there you have it, saying that they issued the arrest warrants. Gonzalo Lira said these idiotic international arrest warrants issued by the International Criminal Court amount to them saying, hey, don't forget me. I'm Slava Ukraini too. I stand with Ukraine as well. Don't you forget about it, okay? Now, I personally think that the International Criminal Court should immediately arrest Volodymyr Zelensky. I mean, this guy, he is shelling innocent children in the Donbass. We have verifiable evidence that they used chemical weapons against the Russians. We have verifiable evidence that's even been confirmed by Amnesty International that they use civilians as human shields in a time of war. They stage military armaments and artillery fire from civilian zones and buildings that civilians occupied. Those are all war crimes confirmed by the Amnesty International. I would say that this is a war of aggression against their own civilians. We have countless videos of Ukrainians that were gruesomely, torturing Russian soldiers, shooting them in the legs and the kneecaps, watching them bleed out, shooting them left and right from point blank range. We saw videos of them decapitating Russian soldiers. We saw videos of them, of course, killing and brutalizing Ukrainian civilians, tying them to poles and, pulling their pants down, spraying antiseptic dye in their faces. If anyone should be arrested, I think it should be Zelensky, the guy that's orchestrating and funding the Nazi terrorist thugs in his country to brutalize civilians in the Donbass. But hey, that's just me. Also, though, I mean, like, if we are talking about arresting people at the International Criminal Court, don't you think that we might issue warrants for, like, George Bush and Bill Clinton or Obama. I mean, like, we're talking about the illegal bombings of civilians all across the world. In Obama's case, you know, Nigeria or Niger, Somalia, where you have like civilian drone death casualties of upwards of 94%. You've got Yemen, you've got Syria, you got Iraq, Afghanistan, you've got George Bush with Iraq, Afghanistan, you've got Bill Clinton, Yugoslavia, you've got, you know, like all these things, you got Libya, all these different countries that, you know, the blood is on these men's hand, but instead of them getting prosecuted, they get presidential medals of freedom. They get Nobel Peace Prizes with drone casualty rates of civilians upwards of 95%. I mean, don't you think that you would investigate and arrest those guys before you investigate and arrest Vladimir Putin? I mean, I sure think so. I mean, take a look at this right here. I mean, this is the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. Okay, they're using the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq to issue an ICC warrant against Russian President Vladimir Putin. So no warrants for Tony Blair, no warrants for George Bush, of course. So yeah, I mean, this is there's nothing serious about this. They're just targeting people that are official enemies of the United States. Here you have Madeleine Albright, who came out in a 60 Minutes interview and said that the death of 500,000 Iraqi children was a very hard choice, but the price we think was worth it. Okay, where's the ICC on this?
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
Yeah. I think the price is worth it. I'm not going to show you the videos of all the dead Iraqi children that starved to death as a result of U.S. sanctions. You can find those disgusting, inhumane photos, videos, if you'd like, online for yourself. But let me just tell you, if there's anyone who deserves to be locked up in the ICC or in the, you know, in international criminal courts in prison for the rest of their lives, it would be Madeleine Albright, not Vladimir Putin. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, the ICC arrest warrant means nothing for Putin. They have no power in Russia. Russia does not recognize the jurisdiction of the ICC. So is Putin going to be arrested? I mean, no. The short answer is no. I mean, South Africa, Brazil, they recognize the international criminal courts, but do we honestly think that Brazil and South Africa are going to arrest Vladimir Putin if he sets foot on South African or Brazilian soil? No. And I don't think anyone expects them to do so. Do I think that if he steps foot on, you know, the soil of Brussels or, you know, France, Germany, will they arrest him? No, I don't think so. I think that they'd think about it. They'd think about it, and there'd definitely be a lot of people that would support that idea. And maybe, depending on the time, maybe they would, but, you know, they'd think about it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and there'd be a lot of people that'd be like, no, because this is going to cause World War III if you do that. But I still don't think that they would do it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I think these people are less deranged and insane than they truly are, but I really don't think they're that stupid that they would arrest Vladimir Putin. But it's possible. It's possible. Glenn Greenwald said this right here. He said, just a reminder that the U.S. was one of the only 7 countries to vote against the 1998 creation of the ICC. The others included China, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, Qatar, and Israel. The U.S. regards itself as exempt from jurisdiction, and the U.S. has created or has threatened the ICC over investigations into it and its leaders. If you don't believe me, take a look at this right here. The U.S. government actually threatened to arrest and sanction the International Criminal Court judges if they pursue Americans for war crimes in Afghanistan. The scared ICC judges backed off. It's clearly not about justice. What credibility does the ICC still have? Okay. After the ICC threatened to issue an arrest warrant, after the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Putin, it's only right for Russia to threaten to arrest its judges and seize their funds, you know, just like the U.S. did when they tried to investigate war crimes in Afghanistan. I think so. I think that's what the Russians should do. You know, and it's also worth noting that they literally passed in the United States Congress, they literally passed, I think it was called the Hague Invasion Act, where they said if the Hague decides to go after U.S. leaders like John Bolton or Mike Pompeo, we reserve the right to literally surround the Hague militarily, send our troops there, surround them, and forcibly protect any of our U.S. citizens from being investigated, arrested, or held liable for their war crimes at the International Criminal Court. But, you know, we should also address the fundamental claims that are being made here. I mean, this is video of Ukraine's former president, Petro Poroshenko, you know, the guy that eventually replaced Yanukovych after the illegal coup in 2014. He oversaw the country from 2014 to 2019 when there was notoriously high levels of actual Nazis within the Ukrainian Verkhovna Rada. Here he is talking about how he felt about the people in the Donbass. Now, he's not been issued any warrant of arrest from the International Criminal Court, but take a listen to what he says here. He says, we will have jobs, they will not. We will have pensions, they will not. Our children will go to schools and kindergartens. Theirs will hide in the basements and cellars. Okay, so this is Christina, 23 years old, and Kira, 10 months old, Zouk, who became the symbols of Donbass's suffering in summer of 2014. They were killed during Ukraine's shelling. She never let go of her child, too graphic to post the image, and has since been known as the Madonna of Gorlovka. Okay, the tragic and preventable story of Christina, the Madonna of Gorlovka, was covered by Ava Bartlett, who traveled to the Donbass. The people of the Donbass described what it's been like to live under Ukraine's siege. Hearing young children talk about serious weapons like Grad missiles and even know what they are is surreal. After the first bang, I said, let's run away. No other choice. One explosion was there, another one there, and one more there. Everywhere there were explosions. One bomb hit exactly the home. The bombings were so intense that I felt strong pressure. The shoots outlasted. You're going fast here. The shoots outlasted the whole night up until the morning, one child says. The missiles flew over our heads. Now, I know the real heart pain. This little girl says, I know the real heart pain. I sat near the window when the bomb hit our house, says the little boy. We moved quickly to the door. The house was collapsing. All over there, a kitten was hit by bomb splinters. When the attack was over, I saw that my son, my mother, my grandmother were lying here on the ground. And the dead body of their grandfather was lying there. I took the kids and ran into the basement. Later, under the flashlight, I've seen the hand of my child. One finger was cut off. Yesterday, when I was carrying my son from the destroyed house, he told me, Mom, I've just started to live. Why like this? When I've seen my mom and my dad, they were lying on the ground. I was simply afraid to look at them. So look, I don't want to go through all these because it's absolutely tragic. But from the 14th of April to the 15th of November 2017, that's a three-year period, at least 2,523 civilians were killed, 1,399 men, 837 women, 91 boys and 47 girls, and 149 adults whose sex is unknown were killed. Okay, so I mean, the level of death in the Donbass at the hands of Ukrainians and Petro Poroshenko in particular is absolutely insane. The amount of bloodshed, death, loss of life, suffering is insane. When the ICC accuses Russia of kidnapping children from the Donbass, i.e. protecting them from an active war zone, remember that these are the kids that they are talking about. Children that Ukrainian leadership has gleefully talked of terrorizing and killing. Putin's alleged war crime is rescuing them from these very monsters who are forcing them to stand in food rationing lines, who are sending bombs their way to their kindergartens, to their schools, to their hospitals, to their communities, to their playgrounds. These are the kids that Putin is quote-unquote stealing, in our view, protecting. This right here is a statue of a Donbass boy who died while protecting his sister from a Ukrainian mortar. The true genocide by Ukraine was ignored by the West for 8+ years. And in an Orwellian manner, the ICC now cries about war crimes of evacuating children to safety. They have truly lost their moral compass, and the Russians understand this. Russia's ex-president likens Putin's warrant to toilet paper. He said, the International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant against Vladimir Putin. No need to explain where this paper should be used, Medvedev said on Twitter with the toilet paper emoji. I agree. It's as good as toilet paper. Evo Morales, former president of Brazil, who was ousted in a OAS US-backed coup, said the International Criminal Court issues a void arrest warrant against the brother, president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. So calling Vladimir Putin his brother. Days before meeting with his counterpart of China, Xi Jinping, that seeks to create the conditions for a process of pacification of the conflict with Ukraine. We express all our solidarity with brother Putin and warn that this political and forced accusation for alleged crimes of deportation aims to maintain the state of war between two brotherly peoples of Europe to satisfy the militarism of the US and NATO. We, the free people, fighting for a world free of U.S. interventionism, express our repudiation of the empire's worldwide stigmatization campaign against the brotherly Russian people. The real perpetrator of the war crimes and crimes against humanity is the United States of America. Putin spokesperson Peskov says, "We consider the very formulation of the issue outrageous and unacceptable. Russia, as well as several other states, do not recognize the jurisdiction of this court, and accordingly, any decisions of this kind are null and void for Russia in terms of law." We also have comment from, this is crazy. So the International Criminal Court prosecutor, so this is the prosecutor for the International Criminal Court that issued this arrest warrant and charged Putin with war crimes for evacuating children from a war zone. Guess what? Guess who he is? Guess what he just did? He just had his convicted pedophile brother, Imran Ahmad Khan, not Imran Khan from Pakistan, but his brother, Imran Ahmad Khan, released from a United Kingdom prison on charges of pedophilia on a reduced sentence 1 month ago. So he got his brother, who's a literal pedophile, removed from a UK prison on reduced charges, a pedophile, because he is the prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. But Vladimir Putin, who's evacuating children from a war zone, you know, he's the evil guy. So if you save children from a war zone, you get an arrest warrant from the prosecutor of the ICC. But if you commit pedophilic acts against children and you are sentenced to prison in the United Kingdom, then he's going to help you get out of prison. Make it make sense. It doesn't. And look, to wrap up this matter, I love this tweet from Kim.com. This is so perfect, and it really does summarize everything that is happening here. The International Criminal Court that we don't recognize has issued an arrest warrant against Vladimir Putin for evacuating children from a war zone that is getting shelled with our weapons, and we are the ones who killed over 20 million people in 37 victim nations since World War II. As they all sit and laugh. There they are. I always wonder, I'm like, can they get more depraved? Can they become more inhumane? Can they commit acts of inhumanity that are any more disgusting than the ones that we saw last week? And the International Criminal Court proving that, yes, they are very capable of performing all of those tasks and actions. All right. Hey, thank you all for tuning in. It's good to have you all here. We've got a ton of people watching right now on YouTube and Rumble. Thank you so much to Bella O for the very generous Rumble rant. Said, thank you, Jackson. Keep up the noble work and telling the truth. Respect. Thank you so much. And I think we had another one come through on Rumble. Thank you for the Rumble rants. I really do appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Bella. It's a very generous Rumble rant. Thank you so much. $100. Thank you. All right, let's get into the next story. And by the way, if you're watching right now, of course, be sure to drop a like, drop a Z in the live chat. And if you haven't grabbed our amazing merch, you can do so right here. Check out our merch, our Z merch, Ghost of Kiev merch, Z merch. You can get it using the link I'm sending in the live chat right now. Here you go. There's the link to our merch. Be sure to grab yours while you still can. All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about, this is also a crazy story. All right. I love the Z's. All right. Donald Trump is currently the leading candidate for the Republican nomination in the presidential election in 2024. I mean, I sit here and I kind of can't help but laugh because, you know, he was so vilified at the end of his presidency. And, you know, why do I say at the end of his presidency? Because at the end of his presidency is when he said, we're getting our troops out of Afghanistan. I'm seriously considering pardoning Assange and Snowden. And he should have done that. But his, you know, friend of Donald Trump, Robert Barnes, you know, he told us that, like, look, I mean, the reason why he didn't do that, he said, I saw the papers on his desk. They were there to pardon Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. The reason why he didn't do it is because Mitch McConnell said, I will approve votes in the U.S. Senate for you to be impeached. And if you're impeached, I don't think you can run for president again. So he literally said, I will approve the votes for your impeachment if you go through with this. If you pardon Assange, if you pardon Snowden, I will go through with this. So that's why he didn't do it. Glenn Greenwald also confirmed that story, and Glenn Greenwald knows this to be true. But that was probably Trump's biggest mistake. But he, you know, is at the end of his administration. He said, I'm going to pull us out of Afghanistan. Joe Biden botched the job. He delayed the withdrawal, and it caused the big shit show that it caused. And then he kept saying, well, I'm going to keep, you know, U.S. troops on the ground, and we're going to keep us in the, you know, we're going to keep us in Kabul, and we're still going to do our airstrikes, and we're still going to do our drone strikes, and we're going to keep our black ops and our special ops there, you know. And then the Taliban was just like, no, fuck you, you're leaving, you're out. Okay, you're out. It's as simple as that. You're gone. Okay, well, so, you know, he did that. Trump said, we're going to remove from Afghanistan. And then Trump also said, you know, we want to get our troops out of Syria. Let's bring our troops home from Syria. You know, they're only there for the oil, so let's bring them home. And then James Jeffries, the U.S. envoy to Syria, he said, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to bring them home, Mr. Trump. And then he lied. And then he boasted about the fact that he lied. He's like, yeah, we lied. We told Trump we were bringing the troops home, but we actually kept them there. So you're admitting that you refused the order of your commander in chief? Yeah, that's, they boasted about it. They're proud about it. You know, you get invited to more cocktail parties in D.C. if you do that, if you serve the interests of the deep state and screw over Donald Trump and lie to him to his face when he gives you a direct order. Then we also had Donald Trump, who appointed Colonel Douglas MacGregor, the notorious. You know, he, I would say that he is a very, one of the only sane, rational voices in, you know, the military apparatus that's calling out the madness in Ukraine and calling out the madness of war with China, you know. And he appointed him to be his advisor, special advisor to the Secretary of Defense. Okay. And I think he would have appointed him to be his defense secretary, but we all know the Senate wouldn't approve him to become defense secretary. But that's when Trump was attacked the most. Okay. And then, of course, after January 6th, he was ridiculed. But now most Americans understand that Trump is not to blame and that there was likely some nefarious, you know, Fed actions on January 6th. Like the majority of Americans understand this to be the case now. So I just find it funny that Donald Trump is the front runner again in 2024 for the presidential nomination for the Republican Party. And that's why they're now doing this. Trump is predicting, he tweeted this out, or he Truth Socialed it out, that they're going to be arresting him on next Tuesday. The former U.S. president has called on his followers to protest and take our nation back. Yes, yes. Take a look at this. Trump posts he will be arrested on Tuesday and calls for protests to take our nation back. He said, our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead. The radical left anarchists have stolen our presidential elect. And by that, I mean that they, you know, they stole it from Bernie Sanders, right? They stole it from Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary. That's who they stole it from. They stole it from Bernie Sanders. You know, they stole the election from Bernie Sanders. That's who they stole it from. And with it, the heart of our country. American patriots are being arrested and held in captivity like animals, while criminals and leftist thugs are allowed to roam the streets, killing and burning with no retribution. Millions are flooding through our open borders, many from prisons and mental institutions. Crime and inflation are destroying our very way of life. Now, illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protests take our nation back. So there you have it. Trump saying that they are going to be arresting me on next Tuesday. Now, there's been many, many, many such instances in which they claim that, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to arrest Donald Trump. We're going to arrest Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. And they never do it. But now, for the first time, he's saying that, yeah, they're actually planning to. They're going to do it next Tuesday. Do I think that they're going to do it with, like, handcuffs? You're going to see a mugshot? No, I don't think so. I don't think so that they're – I don't think they're going to do that. I think that, obviously, you know, New York Police Department and Secret Service work very close to with each other and with one another, and they're going to protect Donald Trump and make sure that, you know, this is done semi-discreetly. I'm sure eventually photos will come out, video will come out, mugshot will be released, but probably not instantly or anything like that. But, you know, he's coming out and saying very seriously they plan to arrest me on next Tuesday. Elon Musk has responded to the news. He said that if this happens, if they do arrest Trump, it would deliver an election, the 2024 election to Trump in a landslide. Yes, the former U.S. president has predicted he will be detained on Tuesday on a charge of falsifying business records. Falsifying business records. So we're going to arrest the former president of the United States in the middle of a presidential election.